Well, good afternoon and welcome to Visions and Sound. My name is Rob Daniels. Well, this week's program is something that I really like to do, and these are composer features. Now, this week I'll be featuring the music of the composer Justin R. Durbin. Now, before you go, who's Justin? Well, have a listen to what he's done. Justin is currently working on a most unusual project. This is a Star Trek fan film called Star Trek of Gods and Men. And this is no ordinary fan film like the stuff you've seen on YouTube. It is directed by Tim Russ, who played Tuvok in the series Voyager, and stars Walter Koenig, who was Chekhov, Nichelle Nichols, who is Uhura, and Alan Ruck, Garrett Wang, and a slew of other actors from various Star Trek programs and movies. Now, if you're interested in seeing this, at least part one of Gods and Men, then you can go to the website StarTrekOfGodsAndMen.com. I know that's a lot to say, but it's all one word, StarTrekOfGodsAndMen.com. Part two will be coming out on March 15th, and it's, from what I've seen, looks really, really cool and sounds great. Anyway, so I had the great opportunity to speak to the composer, Justin R. Durbin, a little while ago, and here is part one of the interview that I did with Justin. Well, let's start with what is your musical background?
2 years of piano lessons.
Really?
Yep, that's about it.
That's about it.
And I played trumpet in middle school, and yeah, piano was just never my thing. Actually studied graphic design in art studio.
Yeah, all right. So, well, what was it that that first inspired you to write movie, TV, and movie and TV music?
Oh, I always like to go back to the Terminator 2 story. The whole point of that was sitting down. It was on TV one night, and we were eating corn dogs. And I finished my corn dogs, and then there's two little sticks, you know. So at the end of the, you know, while I was watching the movie, I was just banging my plate, you know, the theme to Terminator. So after that, I went into the living room where the piano was, and I sat down and just literally started playing by ear the Terminator theme, and I guess that's where it started. And I was like, that really was the point where, like, I really like movie music. You know, it can convey so many emotions and so many levels, and it was just a good place to start, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you first become involved with Star Trek of Gods and Men?
The guy who, I think he was the DP. I know he was the camera operator. I'm pretty sure that he had a lot more involvement with it. But he was actually the editor, the first editor of the film. And he actually cut the movie to my music as a temp score.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they had somebody else at one point, and they just, you know, asked, hey, you know, we're using your temp score. Why don't you give it a shot? So I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few versions later, there's a whole new edit of the film, a whole new editor, and it's pretty much basically the same, but that's how I got started.
Okay. So yeah. Now, was there ever talk having an opportunity to use any of the Star Trek themes?
You know, this film is different than all the other Star Trek films, I think, mm-hmm. and because of that, they wanted a different direction. Basically, it's one of those composers' dreams of saying, all right, well, we like your work, just go for it. So they basically just let you loose and write something on it. And, you know, there is a few themes, and I'm starting to bring in a little bit more, especially the Klingons. I scattered those in at about of Act 2. So, and there's three acts of the film, and I'm sure the third one I'll probably throw in some sort of Star Trek homage to it.
Okay. So what's it like being in that that musical universe of Star Trek? Are you given any guidelines? Are you say you can't go this far with your music, but you can go, you know, you can kind of stay in this area for Star Trek?
Well, I guess that's a great thing about science fiction and, you know, this epic universe that you're in. You have basically an epic amount of, you know, options to do, and of course, like, a small little piano piece wouldn't exactly fit with a Star Trek film. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of stereotypes of, you know, what is sci-fi? What is sci-fi music? Is it, you know, soundscapes? Is it ambience? Is it, you know, weird sounds that you would hear from, you know, nebulas or something, you know? But it's just, as you sit down and you write music, it eventually just starts to evolve, and you eventually pick up the same thing. And you know, this particular project, I just had more percussive, so there's a lot more percussion driving everything around. So I guess that's how it started. But no, there was really no limitations. I mean, it's just a fun project to work on, and you know, I like those bigger than life kind of type of movies that really make you think, and this is just one of them.
Right. So now, what were the factors that that influenced your own main theme?
One of the producers really liked one of my tracks, and he kept referring to it. It was called Alpha Command. And you know, I wrote the first act, and he's like, "I really like Alpha Command. I really like Alpha Command in this." And so I just kind of started recycling it. You know, I guess composers are allowed to recycle their own work. So I didn't feel too bad about ripping myself off. But then again, I have heard that chord progression in a lot of other movies. I was watching, I don't know the name of the film, but I know there was something not too long ago. I was like, "Holy crap, that's the same chord progression as this track." And it kind of irritates you and, you know, frustrates you, but, you know, hopefully nobody's heard that before.
Does that make your have you ever been in a situation? I've talked to a few composers where this has happened, where you've been sitting there and all of a sudden you go, "Wait a minute, that's something that I did."
Yeah, it happens. You know, but there is only so many notes on a keyboard. There's only so many,
True.
you know, rhythms, so many speeds that you can write music at, and you're bound to hit the same keys that somebody else hit at one point in life. So I guess it's the whole thing of you can't reinvent the wheel, just make it kind of a little bit better or add a little bit more texture to it.
Okay, well now Tim Russ is the director on this, of Gods and Men. How closely did you work with him on your music, or did he just kind of let you go and say, "Oh, just come back with something"?
I got an email pretty much saying, "Hey, like your work. I appreciate all of your help." That's the extent of how much I've talked to him.
So not much collaboration then.
No, I think he gave it more into the producer's hands. He trusted them and just basically told them to run with it. And I guess that's a pretty big, bold decision to do. He did it.
All right.
I'm sure he talked to them about it, what he
Mm-hmm.
thought. And I don't know how much musical background that he has or to be able to, you know, to convey his thoughts, but one of the other guys had an idea, and I guess basically he just said, "Let me take it and run with it." So
Right.
they did. They let him.
Without giving too much away, there's music for the destruction of one of the major planets in the Star Trek universe, and the music was perfectly suited. How do you approach that kind of scene?
That particular scene, it's tragic, you know, what happens. And, you know, you write something that's big and loud that really can, you know, kind of pull the heartstrings. And what does it better than a choir and dramatic whole notes? So, and if you just hit the right stuff at the right time, eventually you can bring it out, and you know, you add enough layers and harmonies and a lot of cymbal crashes, and you can really bring the arm hairs out. It's hard to describe how to start. You know, I would just start out with a string pad and just write big bombastic chords, and if it works, it works, and then if not, I'll erase it and start again.
Are you using a mock-up of an orchestra, or are you using live players sometimes too?
Hasn't been a single live player on this yet.
Ah.
The Act Three, I'm wanting to actually hire out a celloist, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
And then, of course, a vocalist. I'd love to have a female vocal, you know, angelically soar across everything. So I think that'd be really neat.
Okay. Well, how what influences instrument choice?
I would say drums always drive a piece along, and you can always accent it with short strings, staccato notes. I don't know. I really can't explain how I just write. It's like you pick and choose an instrument, throw it in, see if how if it works, and as you're watching a, you know, a particular scene back, you can actually hear, or I can hear an instrument like, "Ooh, that'd be really cool to throw in a really loud French horn brass sound here," or maybe accent it with a trumpet notes here, or you know, once everything stops and just hit a pizzicato string of a low bass. So there's very, I guess the range is limitless on what you can do and what you could throw in there, and it just whatever sounds good. And if some of the sounds sound bad, or if it just seems really out of place, we'll take it out, erase it, and start over again.
Right. Now, because of Gods and Men is a three-part, what kind of timeline are you given? What kind of timeline were you given to compose the first section?
Because this project is considered a labor of love,
I see.
I've been, kind of taking my time, but at the same time, I did write all of Act 1, half of Act 2, and then as soon as I found that out, they changed editors and rechanged the entire film. So that kind of set us back. Some of the special effects weren't completed. There's always things like that that go along the way. So it just depends. I have other projects that I have going on too, and just depends on the time. And I hope to get it as done as soon as possible because I know you guys are anxious to see it. And I don't want to be the one to be holding up the film. So I got to work as hard as I can to get it out.
Okay. So how what are you using to record your score? Is it going into, like, let's say Pro Tools? Or what is it going in? What is it being used to record it?
Nope. I use a sampler called Giga Studio.
Okay.
And then my MIDI sequencer is Sonar. And basically, I would load up all my samples into this program called Giga Studio. And then Sonar is MIDI, is an on and off. And then every time I hit a key on the keyboard, it plays and triggers those sounds. And then once those are finished, then I would export them out into a final file, a WAV file. Mm-hmm. Put them into a timeline. I use another program called Nuendo or Innuendo, whatever you want to call it,
right.
And line it up to the picture, line it up to the time code, and if it looks great, then I'll export it out, export it to an MP3, upload it to my server, send an email out to all the guys who are listening to it, get some feedback, and start it over.
Okay.
So, no Pro Tools.
No Pro Tools.
I'm a PC guy, actually.
Okay. Okay.
I'm a Maxius, actually.
So, when you deliver, is this the kind of thing where you would deliver the final, like, I've heard that it's some stuff comes on hard drive. Are you sending the cues through the internet to the editor, let's say?
Yeah, man, this entire project has been through the internet, from emails to, all files that I've had. All that. There's a lot of the special effects guys are all doing stuff over the internet. Now, I did get the DVD in the mail, but that was just a high quality version of the film. But I later compressed it down to a smaller version. But yeah, everything's strictly based through the internet.
Okay.
Digital. Yep.
So what has been the most rewarding aspect of composing music for Of Gods and Men?
It's funny because when you're looking at a film, and you're looking at people that you've seen, throughout your childhood. I love Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all of it. And then you see these guys, you're like, wow, I'm actually writing music to what these guys are doing. So that was kind of neat. Of course, when you see them in real life, it's like you know them because you've stared at their faces for so long. And, it's just kind of weird. And the fact that there's so many people that love Star Trek that are anxious to see this film, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that watch it, and I hope that it's a different enough approach and people will like it. They may have to stretch their imagination a little bit and, understand that it is still a fan film and, take it what it's worth. And I think the guys did an amazing job with it, and I think it's going to do great. I just hope people enjoy it.
Okay. So have you started, I think you mentioned this, you've started doing music for the second section. How far ahead are you working right now?
I finished Act 2. It's done. Okay. Well, the first stages of it is. I'm still waiting on the feedback on particular parts. One thing is, this project has been weird and difficult in the fact that it is broken down into three different films, three different acts, 30 minutes apiece at least. And when you have an entire score, you have that entire time to be able to develop the themes, go back, add elements here, or say you get to the end of the film and like, ooh, that's a really cool sound for this guy. Well, I'm going to take that drum cue and put it right back at the beginning or halfway through the film with this character again, and that defines that character. Well, with this, Act 1's done, so now I can't go back to Act 1 and add stuff later. So that makes it really, really weird. And because I wish I could go back, maybe there'll be like another version. But that's where it's at. It's a little difficult. All but right. It's cool. It's neat because it's like another movie, I guess. So you can just add or develop the theme that you've already done because the other one's finished in the can. But yeah, it's just like three short films.
And we'll have a more of the interview that I did with Justin in just a little bit. But if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000 at hotmail.com. Well, I'm featuring the music of Justin R. Durbin today, but just before I do get to that, I'd like to throw in this little thing here that Star Trek of Gods and Men, and I'll be mentioning this throughout the show, but is a really cool Star Trek fan film. And if you aren't familiar with it, and if you are a fan of Star Trek, I suggest you go check it out. You can watch the first portion of three on StarTrekOfGodsAndMen.com. I know that's a lot to sort of digest, so I'll give you a second to grab a pen, and I'll say it again in just a second. Okay, I think that's long enough. It is StarTrekOfGodsAndMen.com, and you can also be prepared for it this month, coming out with part two on March 15th at 5 p.m. That's Eastern Daylight Time, as the case may be. Anyway, so, like I said, welcome back to Visions and Sound, as I am featuring the music of composer Justin R. Durbin. Now, I'd like to hold the music of Gods and Men just a little bit and have you listen to some of Justin's other music, including, you know, some of that music that actually of Gods and Men is based on. Here is the Alpha Command, including several other cues that the music of Gods and Men is based on. I'll be back in just a little bit.
Thank you. It was about that big around. It shot about 6 feet into the room. Joe and I both saw it. And we talked to it. We looked outside, of course, to see if anybody was out there. And there wasn't anybody. Joe told it to make itself at home, that it would always be welcome to be here.
In real life, a group of scientists has been looking to make contact with aliens for 40 years. The group's name?
CKMS. 100.3 FM.
Many people believe that governments know more than they admit. That governments are cooperating with beings from other worlds.
Radio Waterloo. Out there, but not out of it.
And with a little bit of music from the 2004, just a little suite of music from the 2004 film Firecracker. It's music by Justin R. Durbin. You also heard during that set quite a various number of things, including a couple of pieces on which the music from Of Gods and Men is based on. There's also some there was also some music in there from a trailer from a film, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, called Simum. And then there was just some great music in there. So, welcome back to Visions and Sound as I'm presenting the music of Justin R. Durbin today here on the show. If you are interested in any of the music that any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on the show, by all means, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Also, if you're interested in Justin's music, you can go on to, and I believe it's justinrdurbin.com. Let me take a quick look at that. Yes. It is, sorry, just justindurbin.com. So just justindurbin.com, and you can go on there and check it out. And you can listen to some of his other music as well. And just before I get to the broadcast, at least on Visions and Sound, broadcast premiere of the music to the Act 1 of Gods and Men, I'm going to play part 2 of the interview that I did with Justin Durbin back in just a little bit. How did you first come to work with X-Ray Dog?
X-Ray Dog. I got an email from somebody saying that, hey, you ought to go check out Chris Field. Chris Field is the composer to this track called Gothic Power. Gothic Power was used in the Lord of the Rings trailer, mm-hmm. The first one. And I remember watching that trailer thinking, oh, good God, that piece of music is amazing. And it really pumped me up to go see the film. And I'm sure just got everybody stoked to go watch it.
Right.
So immediately I knew the track. I knew its power. And it was just very, very cool. So anyway, I got an email, someone saying, hey, you got to go check out this guy's work. Doesn't hurt. So I emailed him, looked at his website, saw that his address was in Calabasas, and at the time I was living in Woodland Hills in Los Angeles, and which Calabasas is right next door. It's like we're neighbors.
Right.
So I emailed him, was like, hey man, you know, I'm, you know, new to Los Angeles and would love to meet up with coffee for some time. Next thing you know, I get an email back and he's like, sure. So we meet up down the road, you know, have coffee, lunch, met up with a few other times. He asked if I needed a job or anything. And I was like, well, yeah, I just moved to LA. It's not like Kentucky anymore. So I was actually going to, you know, work with him as an assistant. But he ended up introducing me to the guys who own X-Ray Dog, and I've been working for them for 2 years now.
So yeah. So what trailers have featured your music?
The biggest one was Harry Potter, The Order of the Phoenix.
Cool.
There's only 35 seconds, but 35 seconds of glory. I'm going to take it.
All right. So have you been? Yeah. So are you the kind of person that sits in the theater and goes, listen, ah, there it is, or are you just kind of like most composers I've talked to, kind of downplaying the music and say, oh, it's there.
No, I get excited. I, you know, deep down you're like, ooh, that is so cool. You know, that it's one of my goals. You know. One of my goals was to have my music in a trailer, which it now has. And mm-hmm. Now my next goal is to have my music be the dominating piece of music. Like before it was only 35 seconds, and the next time I'd like, you know, maybe a minute.
Right.
I mean, even a minute is pushing it for trailer music, but I would love to have it a full piece. And the next thing you know, next goal is to have my music in a film released nationwide and then international. So, I mean, it's small little baby steps as I get there, and I'm having a good time so far.
Okay.
I'm hitting them.
What can you tell me about the film Inalienable?
Inalienable, it is a father-son relationship, mm-hmm. and with a twist. This alien child was born to a father, just kind of immaculate conception.
Okay.
And the government wants to take it away, and of course, like any other, you know, father-son relationship, you don't want to be separated from your family. Mm-hmm. So it goes to court, and it was a big battle between government and, you know, who has the rights to this baby. It basically came about because through Star Trek, or the of Gods and Men,
right?
They're like, hey, we're doing another film. Would you be interested in doing this? You know, while we are still doing all the effects for the films? I'm like, okay, so I did.
And what's been your approach? I mean, obviously, it's not the same as, let's say, like on of Gods of Men. What's been your approach to Inalienable?
Well, one of the scenes is Richard Hatch's son is singing Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Oh, yeah.
So the entire theme is based off of Itsy Bitsy Spider, except dark.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has got dark undertones. It's kind of sad, you know, but it's just not a very happy thing that happens to this guy. And, you know, somebody wants to take away this baby, this child. And, you know, I hope that the music reflected that.
Mm-hmm. Well, then that brings me to the next question. Do you have to be happy to write a happy theme?
No. I think it's to me, to write a happy theme, I have to be ridiculous, like over the top. All right, fine. I'm just gonna write some dumb little ding 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 ding, like clown type of music, and that's the only way that I've been able to write happy stuff. And even then, it goes right back to dark tones. But it's just where I feel more comfortable with. Someone asked me to write a jazz piece. I don't know if I can do that, but I would do it. But it'd be a dark jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends.
All right. Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Yeah. It's one of those things where after you get the film, you know, and you know, in the mail and say, no, here's your copy, and you're watching it with somebody else, and you're just thinking to yourself, like, God, there's a lot of music. When is it going to have a break?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying, you know, developing and evolving as a musician to be able to say, okay, there's enough music, give it a break. And I think silence is key. And I'm trying to get a better grasp at it.
Okay.
Of Gods and Men is pretty much wall to wall of music. But again, it was the first act. So the second act, there's not as much, and it's a little calmer. And then the third act, I haven't even seen yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, I take that back. I did see a rough cut first version. But okay. Half of the movie is special effects. So all I saw is like ship goes by for 20 seconds, dog fight sequence here, and it's just title cards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I haven't even seen the third one yet. I'm still waiting on it in the mail.
Well, now, how would a score that you write today differ from one you wrote at the beginning of your career?
Better samples.
Okay.
Throughout the years, I just find better libraries. I've been able to mix and match layer and layer different things on top of each other that sound more realistic to me. Yeah, I would say samples. The other thing is I can play on the piano or the keyboard a little bit faster than I could before. I know the program in and out, so I can zip through, go to a certain part of the film, add it in, throw it, and I know where all the instruments are. So you just become accustomed with the routine that you have.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm growing.
Okay, so is there any genre of films that you haven't written for yet that you would like to write for?
It's funny because I just finished up this Turkish film called Samum. It's an Islamic exorcist film.
Oh.
And the project right before that was a Jesus film going, what was it? A parable film about this guy who heals people. It wasn't Jesus, but it was somebody else, one of his disciples, I think.
Okay.
So I've done pretty much a broad range of stuff. I've done a few cartoony type of stuff, but again, it goes dark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could write for a sitcom, unless it's a dark sitcom. That's probably the only thing. And maybe, perhaps that's my next challenge, is maybe I should seek out a sitcom and just try to write something for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about Inalienable, and we've talked about your upcoming third act of Gods and Men. But what else does the future hold for you?
My passion is I want to make my own movies one day.
Oh, yes.
So I'm trying to get to the point of building enough relationships, enough directors, producers, anybody that can find that are good people that I can work with and say, okay, I want you to work, help me out. I want you to union. So you build kind of an army. So I know it's not going to take overnight, and you know, I'm willing to take as, you know, spend as much time as I can, you know, to get, make sure it gets done right. And, but that's my goal, is to make my own movie and hopefully maybe to score it if I have the power to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to entertain the world in some way, shape, form, or another, if I can.
All right. Well, do you consider yourself a storyteller?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's something that I'm still working on. I'll go back and listen to older works, and I'm like, wow, that was so repetitive. I should have changed that up, or should have added another instrument here, or wow, that sample was awful. And, you know, you learn from those mistakes. You learn from other comments that other people have. So eventually you do get better.
Well, do you have any favorite composers that are working right now?
I would say my favorite's James Newton Howard. Okay. He's done Sixth Sense, Lady in the Water, Signs, Unbreakable. You know, it's basically M. Night Shyamalan's, you know, right-hand man. And, yeah. You know, ideally, I would love to find my own Shyamalan, M. Night. So I can, you know, can constantly keep doing the same work. And, you know, of course, the director, if he likes your style, he's going to keep coming back. It's just one of those marriages that you just keep looking for. And I think I've found a few along the ways, but, you know, they're small directors trying to work their way up. And they're just getting bigger and better with every picture. And hopefully I am too.
Well, I really appreciate this. This was great. Like I said, when I first heard that those opening strains of Gods and Men, I said, this is the guy I got to talk to. you know, I've spoken to some major Hollywood composers, and then people who have done like just little films as well. And like I said, it was without a doubt. I said, I have to talk to this guy. There is no doubt. It must be pretty cool to be a part of the history of Star Trek as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, when I tell my parents that, I was like, yeah, I'm scoring this film, you know, for these Star Trek people and Chekhov, Nohura's. They're like, oh, and you know, they see the, you know, the enthusiasm in me, and hopefully it reflects because they watched it along with me. I mean, it's kind of like my babysitting tool, that and Star Wars, where my parents would just sit in front of the TV and say, go watch your science fiction. And I'm a big sci-fi nut and I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat. Yeah.
So do you think that, do you think that Of Gods and Men will be maybe your door into maybe the next Star Trek series, if there is one?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's so hard to tell, you know? Like, for instance, Hans Zimmer just scored, you know, the new Simpsons movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Hans had nothing to do with, you know, the Simpsons theme. And Simpsons have been on the air for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they pick somebody else to do it.
Right.
It's kind of like, wow, all right. Why would you do something like that? Another example, you know, real quick, is the game Halo. You know, Marty O'Donnell, I think he's made the sound of Halo. And if they make this movie, I'm just wondering who they're going to get to write the music for Halo. Would they pick some Hollywood, you know, composer, or they go for the little guy who's built this up? So I hope that Star Trek does lead me to somewhere. And I think it will. I think people will hear it, and I hope they'll enjoy it enough to say, okay, Justin, I want you to write music for my film, my project.
Okay.
And if it does, then I succeeded, and, you know, I moved to the next step of hitting those goals.
So what kind of advice would you give to up-and-coming composers as to how to sort of, you know, find work and sort of, and maybe stay in the business?
Man, write music and then move on. Write something, move on. If you linger on it too much, you're just wasting your time. Sample instruments from your computer can only sound so good. And then, you know, you could tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak, and by then no one's even going to care. It's like, all right, how long have you been spending on this? 2 months? And, you know, you could probably be done on a piece in 2 days. Do as many short films as possible. That's great work, you know. I'm doing a lot of stuff for the German film school students. You know, find animations like that are really bigger than life, and write music that you want to write. If you write music that you don't enjoy, you're not going to like it, and the chances are you go find another profession, and you're just going to get burnt out. So write music that you enjoy, and write music that you think other people will like too, but more importantly, write it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And if you weren't composing, What do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I went to school for graphic design. I've designed like hundreds and hundreds of websites, but there's no money in it. You know, the website.com boom is gone, and nobody wants to pay money for it anymore. So I enjoy it, but probably filmmaking. Okay. I'd probably go out and make my own films full time if I wasn't writing music. I just like films. Anything with it. Or, you know, building stuff. I always love building stuff, too. So, you know.
Well, like I said, I really appreciate this.
Yeah, no problem.
It's it's great to speak to someone who is working in the industry and having as much fun as you sound like you're having
with this.
And yeah, it was great to talk to Justin, and I'm glad that he had a chance to. He was the one that made the suggestion that we speak on a person-to-person web program called Skype. And I've looked into this, and that interview was recorded on Skype. So I'll say this much. Wow. Fantastic quality of for the interview. Very impressed. And I will be using Skype in the future. So that's how come it sounded like he was basically in the next room or in the basically in we were in the same room. He was in Los Angeles. I was in, you know, I was at home. So this is, it's a very cool, and I'm glad that he suggested it, or I would never have even thought of it. Anyway, if you're interested in any of the movie, TV, and or video game soundtrack music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. It's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. If you're interested in any of Justin's music, you can check out his website, justindurban.com. Durban is spelled D-U-R-B-A-N. And check it out. It's a really great looking site. And yeah, so for those of you that have been very anxiously waiting, and I'm sure you have, this is some music from the fan film of Gods and Men with music by Justin R. Durban. Back in just a little bit. And with a little bit of music from the fan film of Gods and Men. That's music by Justin R. Durbin. We're getting close to the end of the program, and I will continue on with some more music from the from Of Gods and Men. But, you know, I thought I would come back and say, if you are interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. If you're interested in any of Justin's music, you can go on to justindurbin.com. And it's, like I said, a fantastic-looking site, and I suggest you check it out if you're interested. So I'm going to continue on with some more music from Of Gods and Men, and then I will follow that up and be back very, very soon to wrap up the program. Back in a bit. A little interesting ending there, but I thought I'd throw that in anyway. You're listening to, you just heard a little bit of the music from Of Gods and Men, the Star Trek fan film, and you can check it out online at StarTrekOfGodsAndMen.com. Check it out. It's actually pretty interesting. So if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS, at least for the next few minutes anyway. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, welcome back to Visions in Sound, as this week we were featuring the music of composer Justin R. Durbin. Now, I'm going to end off this week with some music from another film that Justin did called Inalienable. And like I said, that's it for me. So I will be back next week with more Visions in Sound, and you never know what might happen. Anyway, talk to you next week.